Hi. My name's Paul, and I'm a sinner. But I'm a sinner saved by grace. And I'm here to tell you how Jesus saved my life. Story starts about 66 years ago. When I came out, I was brought up in a neighborhood church. And it was right up at the corner of our street. And I was baptized there, and I attended Sunday school and vacation Bible school, and I went to confirmation classes, and I went to youth group, and I went to church every Sunday, and, you know, I learned all the Bible stories, and I knew what was right and wrong. But somewhere in all of this, I never made a connection. I never made a connection between Jesus and salvation. And I don't know why. I really don't. But I never made that connection. Well, let's advance a few years here till I was like preteen, teenager. And by this time, my father had left my mother with four kids. I was the oldest, and I have three sisters. And my youngest sister, Judy's a special needs kid. That's a lot of fun. Became my lucky charm to take care of the sisters and make dinner every night while Ma was at work. So my childhood was kind of busy. Church started to be an afterthought at this point in time. But through the influence of my uncle, and here's another one of those wincing moments, Jackie. My uncle was a Jehovah's Witness. And I believe that he went that way so that he didn't have to go to Korea during the war. Okay? That's what started it. But through his influence, my mother thought she saw something and decided, let's do this thing. So we started going to a Kingdom Hall. And like I say, Mom threw herself into it, and she took us with her, and she's still going there. Well, we went to services a couple of times a week. We started studying with them. One of the couples at the hall actually came to our house twice a week to study with me and my sisters. You know, they got the Paradise Lost or Paradise Found, I forget which one it is, but they have a book that they study out of, and it's for kids and teach you all the Bible stories and all that good stuff. And I thought it was okay, but I think I was about 14. I started asking questions. I said, hey, why can't I receive communion? The answer was, well, you're not one of the chosen ones. Well, okay. Why don't I get to go to heaven then? Well, you're not one of the 144,000 that are deemed to go to heaven. And I'm thinking, why am I not chosen? Why is this? You know, this doesn't sound like what I had learned when I was younger. I don't like this. Didn't care for the answers. Why wouldn't God want me? Well, these answers, they really turned off what I thought were good spiritual ideas that you should go to heaven and that. And I refused to go to church anymore. And unfortunately, I started growing up very worldly, you know, doing the things that kids do, you know, go hang out on the street corner, smoking cigarettes, and drinking, staying out late, getting into trouble. All the good, bad stuff. And that went on for a while. So we'll move up until I was about 20. And I was working. I had a good job. And still drinking a lot. Well, one night I picked up Joanne in a biker bar. Hung around with a bunch of bikers, and she needed a ride home one night. There you go, hop on the back. Gave her that ride home. About a week later, I moved in. Things were great. Like I say, I had a steady job. We went out drinking every night. We didn't have a care in the world. It was great. We're just out for all the good times we could find. That went on for quite a while. Until Junior came along. Shortly after Paul was born, we moved to Cheektowaga. And Joanne started working too. But we were still in party mode. You know, never thought about anything else. Go out, have a good time. Do whatever. People said, here's some drugs. Hey, let's try those. Hey, yeah, let's chase it down with a glass of beer or whiskey or something like that. You know, we didn't care. Because we weren't thinking spiritually. Anyways, after Cheektowaga, after the big blizzard in 77 or so, we moved, and we moved into West Seneca. Well, in the fall of 1981, we finally had enough money together, we could buy a house. That's the one that I live in now. And we started to move in at the beginning of December of 1981. The other guys that's not here, Mike, was out Christmas shopping with his brother Joey. Joey was the oldest. And they were with one of our friends, and Joey collapsed in the shopping center and was rushed to the hospital. And to make a long story short, he suffered a burst aneurysm. And he never came out of that coma that he was in. And I think this is where something in my head said, you know, we need to do something here. Something's just not right. It was not easy after Joey passed away. I mean, you know, when he was in the hospital, and I'd visit the chapel and I'd pray, and I've heard Dave Fancher say this, one of your kids are sick. Boy, you're a prayer warrior. You pray like there's nobody's business. And I was praying. But I didn't know what to pray about or how to pray. After all, at this point in time, I had pretty much given up on God, and I thought he gave up on me. And I have to say that after Joey passed, there was a lot of time that I was mad at God. Because after all, I had called on him. He didn't answer. And I can't say that I blame him. But, you know, this is one of those times where people tell you good things come out of bad times. God will make something good happen. And it's hard to think of when you're in that situation, but it is true. Must have been, I don't know, 6 or 7 months after Joey passed. One day, me and Joanne were sitting talking and said, you know, we got to get these other two to church. And I said, we'll do that. But we'll go to a church where I know that they'll hear the Bible stories and, you know, all of that stuff. So we went back to the church that I was raised in to start with, which was a Methodist church, by the way. But still, I didn't know. I didn't make that connection. But we did. We went back to church. In 1989, I tried to kill myself by falling off a ladder while I was siding my house. And it was a horrible thing. I fractured my skull, and I was about an eighth of an inch away from death, as the doctor told me. And I went off the deep end. If you can consider what I hadn't done already the deep end, this was even deeper. All right. I went back to work and started doing crazy stuff again. You know, back into the drinking and the carousing and the drugs and all that kind of stuff. And it just was not good. But I did continue to go to church. And not all the time, because I was the youngest guy in seniority, so you got to work on Sunday, Brown, because you don't have no seniority. You'd get off one weekend a month, if you were lucky. But that's when I would go to church. Well, after we were church a while, like I say, I discovered I needed to know more. Stuff started to penetrate. I don't know whether the doctor fixed something in there when he was doing it or what, but something started to go and said, you know, there's more involved here. There's more you got to know. So we stopped partying and started doing more constructive things. I got involved with Boy Scouts with Junior, and, well, that turned into another thing, but Joanne did Girl Scouts with our niece. We eventually became in charge of the youth group at church, if you can believe that. But there was still something missing. Something was still missing. Well, turns out that we got a new pastor at the church, Dan Barry. And it was through Dan that salvation started to become apparent to me. He brought the Walk to Emmaus to our church. And the Walk to Emmaus, you have to be invited to go on. You can't just say, sign me up. All right, you got to be invited to go on this. And I was watching people go and come back, and they were all changed. And I'm thinking, oh, that's great. You know, where do I sign up? Well, you can't sign up, Brown. And I talked to Dan at length about this program, and it really sounded like I needed this. And Dan found somebody to sponsor me, and I went. And I took the Walk to Emmaus, and it's a 4-day program where you go and they lock you into a church, and you get 15 different lectures by lay people and clergy that explain to you how you should live your life, basically. And it's during that time that I discovered just what a rotten sinner I was. Wow. It's not easy to confront your sin, but it's something that has to be done. What I had to face was that I'd done quite a few bad things. I had a lot of guilt and shame, and it was all built up, and it was sitting right here on top. I did a lot of stuff that I shouldn't have done. I'd done things to hurt Joanne. I'd done things to hurt the boys. Guilt and shame were eating me up. The greatest part about this story is that God hadn't given up on me. He saved my life because he gave me the greatest gift that I could ever hope for, the gift of his son, Jesus. took that sin and guilt that I had and threw it into the depths, never to be seen again. The realization that Jesus died for my sins took the weight of the world off my shoulders, and I became a new creation in Christ. And it was like that. There. You know, people, you know the expression, oh, the light bulb came on? The light bulb came on. If you read the Emmaus story in Luke, I was just like those guys on the walk to Emmaus. I was walking down that road. I knew the stories. I knew what had happened. I heard it all. And it wasn't until a special communion service, when they broke that bread, that my eyes were opened. And I came to the realization that Jesus Christ was my Savior. Now, I could let the story end here, but it does continue on. After all, we ended up at this church. And I'm very happy for that, because I found a whole new Christian family. And so did Joanne. She took the walk to Emmaus also. And as I said at her funeral, she would say, if she was here, that the walk to Emmaus saved her and my relationship. Nothing else. God saved our relationship. And it was never better. It was never better after that. Even through all the sickness that she had in the last couple of years before she passed, we didn't give up hope. We weren't afraid. Well, maybe a little, but we knew who to trust. And after her last operation, when the doctor couldn't do any more, and I had to let her go, I was at peace. I wasn't mad like before with Joey. Because now I had the realization of what was happening. I knew that there was salvation. I was at peace. I knew where she was, and she was cured. Jesus had saved her too. So that's my story, friends. That's how Jesus came and saved my life and changed me from a drunken, no-good womanizer into a loving family man and a brother to each and every one of you here. Thank God for that. Amen.